You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
The car feature.
22 minutes to 3 o'clock, and we wrap up the Tuesday edition of the show by talking cars for a moment. But today, we're not talking cars, we're focusing on bikes, and particularly bikes ridden by women. So today's show belongs to women bikers, and we're talking to Sipe Moshoane. And she's also been on television. She was on Double Up Mzansi, and that was on ETV. She was also featured in a documentary, My World, as well as Riding with the Biker Queen. That was on BBC. She's a public speaker. She has a love for entertainment. And it looks like her journey and her love for riding opened up a whole new world to her, because this is how she also makes a living and gives back to society. So if you're also part of a pack and you're a woman, I'd love to hear from you about just the culture, what you love so much about it. Sipe, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you, Azani?
I'm good. I'm so good. Thank you. You know, I was reading up on the work that you do, and I was reminded of a fantasy that I used to have when I was younger, in my early 20s. I used to think and wish that I could ride a bike and that I will roll up right to this club that we used to go to in Rosebank in a bike clad in leather and the helmet and arrive, roll up to the door of the club like that in such a dramatic fashion. And I had to laugh because, you know, it was just a juvenile little fantasy. So when did your preoccupation start?
I mean, what stopped you? What's stopping you from getting behind, I mean, on top of a motorbike?
Actually, I have no excuse. I'll tell you what happened. Sipe, I'll tell you what happened, actually. There was a time when I thought that I would take a Vespa to work, that I will leave the car, right, abandon the car, and look at a Vespa, right? And then I went for my first lesson. But because I wasn't big at bicycle riding, I sort of struggled in that first lesson, and I just never went back.
And it's not just you. I mean, I must say, I've realized and I've found that a lot of people are put off by their first lesson. But it's something that you just have to get back on.
You have to push through.
You've got to push through, especially because nobody likes falling. And the idea is daunting that, you know, I will fall, I will get myself injured. But once you go past that, Azania, I cannot tell you, I mean, the freedom of riding that you know, what riding does for you is phenomenal. And don't deny yourself. It is the most amazing and freeing, exhilarating thing ever.
Yeah.
So we push through. That's what we need to do.
Wow. Because you've helped a number of people, especially women, start riding. You've helped, you've taught a few over the years.
Yes.
And what is often the biggest barrier, the biggest stumbling block?
The biggest barrier is exactly what you say. A lot of us, look, and I operate a lot, and in, you know, a lot of my clientele is black females, right? And the one thing is that most of them have not been on a bicycle. It is the story of our lives. Just, you know, bicycles weren't big back in the day. And you find that, you know, people want to start riding at the age of 30 or so, and they've never been on a bicycle. So the idea, like, again, if you've never fallen on a bicycle, you are stuck scared when, you know, when you get onto a motorcycle, and that you're thrown off. And especially the stories that people tell that are out there about just how dangerous motorcycles are, and they forget to tell you that the cages themselves that we call cars are just as dangerous, right? So for me, it's to get you past that stage. We don't start you on a bicycle, but we get you comfortable on a motorbike. You know, whether it is me starting you off by just putting you as a pillion on the back of my bike for a few weeks and just getting you to enjoy the freedom of it, to fall in love with the motorcycle itself, to get the fear off, and then eventually introduce you to the saddle itself, whereby you now start saddling it and you get to understand that, you know, you get to have the feel of it. And we then take you through, and you'd be amazed.
What was the term that you used? You said get you to what on the back?
Pillions. So we don't have passengers, we've got pillions.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes.
let me ask instead of walking away. But what's, yeah, you used to cycle. Do you still cycle? Because you were part of the Soweto cycling team from, yes, what, a young age in your teens. So you had that foundation that you describe of being quite familiar and comfortable on a bicycle before you transitioned years later.
True, and you know, that was the plus, and that's the thing that actually got me into motorcycling. So what then happened is, I used to cycle pro back in the day, but when I tried doing it, I didn't enjoy it. It's not something I'd like doing anymore. But I knew the freedom that just two wheels give you. So two wheels has a sense of freedom that it just gives you. And it builds confidence. It's just, you know, everything you've described about that dream where you want to just pull up somewhere, that's what two wheels do. In whatever form or shape, whether it's a bicycle, whether it's a tricycle, whether it's a scooter, whether it's a, you know, all of them, all the ranges of bikes, they give you the same thing. And I knew I was missing that in my life. And that is what got me back onto a two-wheeler initially 12 years ago.
So actually, let's talk about that. What is it about divorce and just becoming anew? Like discovering parts of you that you thought, or going back to parts of you that maybe had been lying dormant, because I can certainly relate to that, you know, because this is, okay, it was after your divorce, in fact, where you picked up biking.
Yes. So, look, I admire the 2000s and the millennials and all of these new kids that are coming up. You know, they don't look at life how we did. And they don't get the advices we got from our parents, right? We were taught submission, basically, back in the day. You know, you serve. That's what you do. You walk into a marriage, you are the wife. You must serve. You must. There was none of this new, liberal stuff that we share things and we talk about things. So when I was there, umfazi does a certain thing. And in that is that we lose ourselves because we are out to please. We are servants, basically. At least that's how I see it. And in all of that, that you don't have an expression. What you do is that you have to be wifely. And wifely comes with a lot of things, especially because then you become a new mom and everything just starts happening. By the time 4 years later into a relationship, I found myself that I'd lost a lot of me. I couldn't even remember what it was that I liked doing for self. And straight out of a divorce, here you are, you're lost again, you're back into the world. Your world is turned around. You've got children, but you've got to grasp at something that makes you you and that makes you free and that, you know, got to fill your buckets to be able to impart to your children, isn't it? So for me, that's why what I did because of cycling, and I knew that it is a form of freedom and it fills my bucket. There is that. And I needed just some sort of therapy. I gravitated back to biking in two wheels, but this time with an engine in between. And that is the best thing I could have ever done for myself.
Even a career change.
It's a full career change. Brothers that I didn't have, a full family. I mean, I can tell you that it opened my world in ways I could never have imagined.
I guess it's like with many other subcultures, it's like because you rolled up to a pub in Soweto and you were having a little bit of a struggle with your bike, and a guy from The Sopranos, which you later worked with, you know, did some community work with, came over to help. So it's like, I guess it's like all other smaller subcultures that you recognize each other and you will group together. You will be there to assist, to be, to aid one another. And that's what happened.
Yeah. And like I say, it's just, you need to open yourself up into the world. And look, for me, it's not even about, it's not something I just want women to get into because maybe they're lost and they're looking for a sense of belonging or to find themselves. It's something I advocate for. You say, if you really want to be full in life and enjoy life, riding is a holiday every single time you get on that bike. And, you know, until somebody does it, whether as a pillion or as a biker themselves, they don't understand that. There is a sense of beauty of just being on this thing. You know, it's better than any round of golf, if you ask me. I know golfers will not like me much. It's better than any round of golf, if you ask me. and to have seen the fraternity grow, especially on a woman's side, From when I started, there was about three or four females that were riding, to now we sit, I mean, we have a group now that we've put together for Bikers of Africa, where we're doing a tour around the 8th of November. And what is happening is that for the first time in 12 years, I've never seen such a number. We're sitting at a huge number of just females that are just coming on, and they just, you know, putting their names down, and they're excited to come together. This is going to be the biggest ride I've ever been on, just a female. And I cannot wait.
Wow.
I can't wait. I'm telling you, in 12 years, I'm yet to be blown away, because just from the group chat and what is happening on social media, and it is insane.
Mm.
And to have seen all of them come through within the space of 12 years, work done, because every single conversation I've ever done was always to just invite women to say, listen, come on, come ride. We have patience with each other. Mm. If you need a help or a hand, you know, just find me, DM me, email me. It's done. It's what I do.
Yes, that sisterhood, that brotherliness that comes with being part of the biker pack. And I guess you have answered one of my questions, because I wanted to know about what life is like in a riding pack.
So we've got, solo riders, which I've just become a solo rider. So I'm no longer wearing any patch. So you spoke of me being a part of a club. Which was the Sopranos. They will always be my family. That is my number one. They are my people. You know, they started me off in riding, and they are family to me. But I then made a decision of just wanting to feel and to understand outside of family sphere and that protection that comes with family, what it's like to not have a patch. And I've been solo now for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I've loved it. So there's different, there's fun riders. There's people who just want to ride over a weekend, and that's just that. And that's allowed. And there's people like me who really ride full on every single time, any chance that they get. And you've got commuters, which we don't talk a lot about. There is just, not only is riding a lifestyle, it is a commuter element to this, which is fuel economical. This is an amazing thing to do. I mean, it is the most quickest way to get to work. It is most, you know, every single day you get to just start the day off in fresh air. I can't imagine why people want to cage themselves. I hardly get into my car.
Calling the car a cage, man.
I need a cage.
Right. So one other aspect, I think, because on the weekends we see bikers all over the highways, like on different routes, and it's often like, Nia P, where are you going? Why?
So we've got morning rides that we do. Those are breakfast rides that you see every Sunday. It's biker culture. We founded there. It will be there years to come. So every Sunday, restaurants and there's spots that we like going to, which cater for riders, and it's an opportune time for people, for bikers to come together. So if you're just a once a week type of rider and you want to, you know, ride with other guys, and you literally don't have a club, or you do have a club, this is where bikers just from all tiers come together, and they ride. Same direction, you know, you could start off a ride with the two of you, but you end up being 20 of you on the same road going somewhere. So that's just the biker culture that happens every Sunday. But outside that, there's a whole lot of stuff. I mean, we've touched on, bikers are charitable. They do a lot of charity runs. So within the calendar itself, we've most probably, I mean, there's about 12 or so that I attend that I know of that are close to my heart, but there's a ride for almost every single thing where bikers get involved, and they help where they can, and we keep each other busy. It's a whole lifestyle. It's just, how far do you want to take it, and what do you want out of it?
Yes.
And then there's obviously the long rides as well. I mean, we do cross country. There's people who just do, I mean, you know of my 1 in 9. I did the 1 in 9 days type of thing.
No, let's pause there for a moment. I wanna take this one slow. It's the 1 woman, 9 provinces, 9 days. And I don't know how you sustain 9 days in that riding position across thousands of kilometers, because you went across all the provinces in that time.
Absolutely. I'm soon to do it again, because we've got a whole lot, and I do it just, you know, to raise awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm soon to do it again. And the idea is just that, look, it's possible. These bikes are built for that. You know, I'm excited, and the reason I want to go out, I'm excited. The new bikes that are coming out now have heated grips. The seats are just, they've got suspension. There's just so many things that are built into bikes now that, you know, that we didn't have back in the day. So the bikes are no longer as hard, you know, the grip and rip type of hard bikes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're getting softer. They're getting, you know, they can take the hardness of the road. And the sitting position, you'd be amazed. It's the most comfortable space. I mean, obviously, you're not going to do this on a super bike, which I've tried and I've done it, and I was A9 everywhere. And you know, it was really ridiculous to try it. Yes, I got around, you know, FA very quicker, but here's the point that it just is not made for that.
Mm.
But there is tours out there. There's bikes that are built for long distances and that are built to do the work, and you don't feel it.
Wow. And let's, because you got to see much of the country through that particular journey, but also, of course, across other rides. What's your favorite route? Take us to your favorite route and why.
And I'll be honest, it's I always enjoy doing the Johannesburg to KZN. The Durban N3 is the best route. For me, I enjoy the N3 completely. It's an open road. There is just something about the N3 that calls me. And guys always say that there's nothing cynic about that. But it is just it is a smooth ride. I enjoy it fully. But, I mean, almost we have – Route 62 is amazing.
Yes.
I've done Route 62 twice now. And if you're talking about culture on a route and you're looking for that, there's that. And you then talk about, obviously, you know, your Cape Town route where you do that entire Cape Town route. There's just so many. South Africa is just – it's a beautiful, beautiful place, guys. And you've got the Tsitsikamma route that you've got. That is also beautiful, beautiful sites that you get to see. So, but if you ask me, my go-to all the time is, and maybe that's because it's the quickest thing, is to just start here and do the entry and back. A lot of guys that I know, they love the Mpumalanga route because of the curves. And then because that route is just so windy and bendy. And, you know, so it's just different strokes that different folks.
Yes. And what is your garage? What's in your garage at the moment?
So in my garage right now, I've got a VT1300. That is a Honda. I got it in 2010, and I'm in love with it. It was one of 110 VTs that was done. It is a chopper look. It's a beauty. It's orange in color. It's what I ride most of the time. And then I don't even know if I should be saying this on the air, but I've just literally wrote off an 1800 Indian motorcycle, which is a beauty, and it is one of my favorite bikes because, you know, not only does it give you that, I want to say the Harley element, that big Harley, you know, muscle thing.
Mm-hmm.
But more, it's softer. Whilst where you have a Harley is Harley has this gripe to it. It's a very aggressive bike.
Mm-hmm.
And we all end up there. But at the moment, what I have is that and a Ducati 1098S.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even though I have no idea what you're talking about, but just how you talked about them. So you, like you said, you just wrote this, the 1800 Indian motorcycle.
The Indian motorcycle. I just wrote it off about, could be 11 weeks now.
Yes. Do you fall often and how severe have the falls been?
No, it's a write-off. So one is getting a new one to replace it. But to be honest, until this fall, I didn't know. I was actually very impatient about the. I'm not even impatient. I was simple. I wasn't sympathetic to guys that have fallen until it's happened to me. So this was my first major fall.
Wow.
In 12 years. We all drop our bikes. You know, you'll stop at a garage or something and something, you slip a little bit and the bike drops. That happens to every rider. An accident, I've never been in an accident. So this was my first accident.
Mm.
And it was an old lady at 74 years of age driving, and she just did not do her checks. and she took me off the road, and it was really hard. But
yeah.
I'll tell you one thing that comes with that, and to most riders that they experience, is what we call choking. You know, the loss of confidence, that's choking, the loss, you know, to not be able to get back up onto a bike.
Mm.
I never thought that's a thing. My first ride back again was a difficult thing, and I got to literally get in touch with that fear again, so that when I teach again, I'm actually back at that place that reminds me what it's like for a first timer, what they must feel like. So, you know, this humbles me a little bit. And I got to also understand that it's okay to fall. You know, we fall and there's a way to fall.
Right.
So I've always played it in my head that there's a way to fall, there's a way to fall, because we watch all these super bikers and we watch all these, you know, the racers when they do it. And thank the Lord, because I did, because then I could let go of my bike and it went one direction, I went the other. And because of the way I fell, no injuries were sustained. I just was bruised very badly.
I know a security guard who was keeping guard at his post, and he says he just looked out on the road. There was a guy that was sliding. You know, he had the full leather gear. He was sliding down the road. What followed after that was his bike. He just couldn't believe his eyes, because all he could see was through the gate, you know. Didn't know where that came from or where it started. But suddenly there's a man sliding down the road, and then a bike following.
The bike is following.
And he ran out, of course, to go and see how it all ended. We've got...
I must say, the one thing that you've touched on is gear. We don't take gear seriously. And the one thing is that a full helmet and full leathers, you have no idea. Those two things are your friend in a motorbike.
Absolutely. I've got a request. People want to know how they get a hold of you, Sipe.
So you can get a hold of me on my email. It's sipei.mashugane@gmail.com. Send me an email or just go into my Instagram, and, DM me, you know, and that's just about it.
That's about it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Love talking
to you.
Thank you
so much.
The levels of FOMO are so high. The levels of FOMO are literally choking me. That was Sipe Mashugane, and she is the biker queen.